This meeting is now being recorded.
Well, everybody, thanks and welcome to the third meeting of the jurisdiction subgroup of the CCWG accountability. Why don't I let Vinay take you through the rest of agenda item number one. Will that work for you, Vinay?
Absolutely. Thank you, Greg. I just want to confirm everyone can hear me. Hi. Could I just get confirmation that people can hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, that's great. Hi, everyone, and welcome to this call. Well, to begin with, I just wanted to confirm that that we know who all are on this call. Is there anyone who is on the phone alone? If you are, please, could you identify yourself?
Vinay, hi, it's David McCauley. I'm on the phone only.
Okay, great. Thank you. Thank you, David. And apart from that, you know, if anyone has any changes to their SOI, you can mention that, but otherwise we'll just assume that that everyone's made the right declarations. Okay, thank you. Greg, I think, you know, if you don't mind, I will move on to agenda item number two.
Please do. I've asked.
Go
ahead.
Yep. So, as Greg had had mentioned in his email, you know, we do have a Q&A that has been released by ICANN in response to some of the U.S. domestic developments that have taken place, you know, in the last week or so. And in particular, agenda item number seven is, question number seven is something that I think we will find interesting. Is it possible for staff to paste the response to question number seven, you know, into the notes in case there are people who haven't had the chance to look at that?
That's been done, Vinay, under number two in the notes, as well as now being put in there.
Okay, great. Thank you so much. Sure, I am experiencing a slight lag here. So, as most of you will notice, there is the question posed was, will ICANN relocate headquarters outside of the United States after the transition? And there is a specific response to that, which no, ICANN will not relocate its corporate headquarters location after the transition. And it goes on to talk about the fact that California law is the basis for the new mechanisms created to empower the ICANN community and so on. Apart from this, I didn't have the chance to listen in on the whole of the Senate hearings that happened a few hours ago, but I did listen in on some bits of it, and I think there were some specific questions posed by Senator Cruz to Mr. Mabi, ICANN CEO, on the issue of whether ICANN might move out of the U.S. at some point in the future. And I think he asked for a commitment that ICANN would not ever move out of the United States. And I believe that there was a specific response by Mr. Mabi there, where, which was fairly circumspect. He pointed out that he was not the final decision maker, and that it was a decision left to the various ICANN to the community, and he specifically pointed out that that it was a complex mechanism, and that no one party or even set of parties would be able to make such a decision on their own. So I just want to open it up to see if anyone has any comments on this and to see if there are any specific perspectives on whether, you know, any of these developments have a bearing on our work and whether they might affect the scope that is open to us. I see, I'm not sure whose hand went up first, but can I start with Tijani?
Tijani is on mute. Tijani is on mute.
Yes, thank you. Yes, thank you very much. Yes, do you hear me now?
Loud and clear.
Very much. Tijani speaking.
How about the
I'd like to ask what is the value of this Q&A and of this point 7 our work. I am really confused because I don't
see
the importance of it. Or oblige or make us take a decision or another or make a recommendation on another. It is only an information, yes, it's an information and everyone have seen it. I don't think it is for of any importance for us. We have to think about everything, discuss it, and I think that we did everything in Workstream 1 for ICANN as an incorporation in California. So this is not something that will add anything, this question and this Q&A document that you present. And we have all read before, and I think that we don't have to spend time on it because we have very important things to do, especially for the multi-layer jurisdictions that we need to discuss. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Tijani. And that's a very valuable perspective. And I think the purpose of this was just to assess, what kinds of different perspectives there are on this issue.
I don't hear you.
I've unmuted.
Hey, not hearing you at this, barely.
I have unmuted and I'm here. Right, this is Christopher Wilkinson. Hello. I'm speaking in a private capacity, but as most of you know, I was responsible for the, in the European Commission for the primary negotiation with Ira Magaziner and others in 1998. When I receive a document, I normally read the last paragraph first. Greg, if this activity is oriented to enshrine the place of ICANN's corporate jurisdiction in the fundamental bylaws, I think we can call it a day. This would be very, very damaging to ICANN and indeed to the present existence, which I accept, and I've lived with this for 20 years, and this has not caused enormous problems. and to the prospect of U.S. jurisdiction, the U.S. jurisdiction has been, frankly, quite benign for 20 years. And most people have lived with it without undue concern. What I'm really concerned about today is, frankly, the activities of the Sidley Law Firm. Instead of the pre-existing, as I said, benign relationship between the jurisdiction and ICANN and the rest of the world, we are increasingly confronted with scores of pages of contractual stuff, which many of us have only just begun to read. If the maintenance of U.S. jurisdiction means that you guys, and I speak to the American legal profession, you guys will try and codify every detail of the relationship between the parties in ICANN in the manner that Sidley is proposing, then I think you will invite serious opposition to U.S. jurisdiction. I think there are some large blocks of legalese which should be frankly withdrawn. I, for one, have lived comfortably most of the time with U.S. jurisdiction. I'm not frankly questioning that. But if you guys want to go in the direction that Sidley is leading you, I think when the rest of the world starts to read the contractual relationships which have been drafted, if you please, in translation into all the active ICANN languages, we're on a hiding to nothing. So please, first of all, delete this business of enshrining. I'm a vicar's son, and I know what shrines are, and I don't think enshrining ICANN in the fundamental bylaws is an appropriate use of language. But that detail apart, first of all, delete that last paragraph completely. Let's have an open discussion. But above all, please keep this legal business under control. Just imagine what's going to happen politically when the government of India reads the whole of this last document, which actually is lost, which is supposed to be signed by the public technical identifiers. Who the hell are they? I'm sorry to with a strong statement, but I can describe to you the preconditions of maintaining U.S. jurisdiction, and we are not going in that direction in the present status. Thank you.
Christopher, there are several questions in the chat asking what direction is Sidley leading us to? What am I missing? What is the issue? I am missing something, too. That's the first question, if you could respond to that. Thank you.
Well, the main thing is that I read these documents as codifying extensive opportunities.
Which documents you're referring to, just so we know which documents you're referring to, please.
I'm referring to particularly to the contract of the naming association, the naming community. It's about 35, 36, 37, 38 pages long.
Is this the naming functions agreement?
I seriously fear that these documents will give rise to spurious disputes, which will destabilize IANA and destabilize the domain name system. I'm frankly alarmed. Thank you.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you.
Another question from Tatiana, I think that responds to this. Are we reopening the issue that was sealed in Workstream 1? And I would add to the in the CWG on IANA stewardship as well. So are you suggesting that we reopen the ICG proposal and the names portions of it, or do you think that there is something in the implementation that is causing concern?
Unless I missed something, the CWG proposal does not propose to enshrine indefinitely ICANN's jurisdiction in the fundamental bylaws.
CWG.
I've seen where this proposal is coming from, and I think it is destabilizing.
Where do you believe that proposal is coming from?
Read the email archive.
For the benefit of those on the call, since we're having a discussion in real time, could you help us with that answer?
Not just now. Not just now.
Okay.
I don't want to impugn individuals in any particular case. I've already responded in the email archive weeks ago to this issue. As I said.
And why do you believe that Sidley is bleeding?
We don't need most of this.
Well, we have a queue, so we should probably move on to Pedro.
Yes. Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you also for both of colleagues who spoke before me. I would like to kind of echo a little bit what Tijani said with respect to this Q&A that was presented to us. Well, first of all, I'm not sure who signed it, whether it's one representative of the ICANN board or the ICANN board as a whole, but I think we need to see it as a viewpoint and not necessarily containing, statements that would be supported by the whole community of stakeholders of ICANN. So, and with respect to question 7 specifically, I think it's more misleading than anything else. I think it mixes concepts just such as the location of ICANN's headquarters with ICANN's jurisdiction and also with California law, which although these are, let's say, intertwined, related, they are not, let's say, equals. And I think, as Tijani said, I think our objective here is to see and to assess the issue of jurisdiction as a multifaceted issue of composing of many aspects, and to kind of analyze those aspects and then seeing which aspects we want to deal with. But starting from, let's say, as a premise that location of headquarters equals ICANN's jurisdiction equals California law, I think it's not a good start for us. So I would consider this Q&A not as very helpful for our work here. Thank you very much.
Pedro, just to delve a little bit more into the distinctions you're making, if ICANN is headquartered in California, that seems to speak to one aspect of jurisdiction in our multi-layer jurisdiction list, which is, you know, the domicile of ICANN, which has certain jurisdictional influences. When you're referring to it not being associated with jurisdiction, what other jurisdiction of ICANN are you referring to?
Yes, exactly. What I said was that they are interrelated but not exactly the same. When I say other aspects of jurisdiction is, of, for example, the jurisdiction of the places where ICANN has offices. It certainly has some interference to the way that ICANN operates, or to some degree, and I think it's our task to analyze that as well. And for example, in contracts between ICANN and a registrar, I think there's also jurisdictional issues that are not necessarily related to the jurisdiction of ICANN headquarters. Maybe it is, but also it has other, I think, jurisdictional aspects that go beyond that. So that's why I asked us to be careful not to kind of interpret those concepts as being the same, exactly the same.
Thank you, Pedro. I think that does definitely touch on the multi-layers of what people call jurisdiction, and so hopefully we can distinguish between between those and the different effects that they have as we move forward. I'll take my hand down and call on Caboose next.
Thank you, Greg. First of all, I don't know how all of a sudden this question and answers comes and is posted on the screen. We just take note of that, and we don't want to discuss that. This is totally misleading. I think the merit of this question is left to the people to discuss and decide in their own answers and understanding.
Can you explain a little more detail why you say it's misleading?
That before the start of the meeting. I think we are not very well structured how to address these jurisdictions issues. I think we open the issue and we never be able to close that. So at the end, we will be consensus by exhaustion. So I am very, very disappointed the way that the meeting is going. Thank you.
Well, I'm sorry you're disappointed. I would not predict that we're going to end up failing to close the issue or by exhaustion, but then again, maybe I'm just more optimistic than some people. Chris, is that an old hand, Christopher? I'm assuming it is, and I think Tijani's hand is a new hand, so I'm calling on Tijani.
Greg, it is a new hand. I'd like first to tell Christopher that we are working on one document that was shared by Greg and his colleagues today. And but Christopher was speaking about CWG document, which is different. So we are working on a document. Let's try to continue on working on this document and not on other documents, because if we take other documents, we will not finish. So our consideration today is for this document that was shared today by Greg. And I understand and I see to what he's pointing, Christopher, but it is different from what we are doing now. And our work will be our work. We will not, embracing the other point of view or view or the other consideration, the other analysis. We have our analysis. We are working on it. And I hope that we will not, as Kabu said, finish by a consensus, by exhaustion. I don't think so, and I don't hope so. So let's go immediately to the multi-layer jurisdiction, our main subject today. Thank you.
Thank you, Tijani. I'm reminded of folks in Los Angeles who leave baseball games after the seventh inning to avoid the traffic, even though the games go to nine innings. I think Caboose's prediction is somewhat like leaving the game in the first inning, but in any case, I remain optimistic. Vinay?
Thank you, Greg. I just wanted to quickly respond to Caboose's point. I think that it's unfortunate you feel disappointed that this was brought up. As far as I'm concerned, and this is a personal perspective, I think it is a relevant input. The answer to this question to me is a relevant input. It is not a determining factor as far as I'm concerned, but it is a relevant input. And the fact that at least two people have stated that this is something we should not be discussing, I think that those are useful responses in and of themselves. And it's actually useful for people to hear that response. But I disagree that it's something that should not have been mentioned in the first place. It is a relevant input. It does not have to to affect outcomes in any particular way, but it is something that should be discussed.
Oh, this is Greg Shatton. Just briefly, I think that in terms of scope, I would like to suggest for the consideration of this group that anything relating to the CWG stewardship and the direct implementation of the PTI, which is where IANA will live post-transition, and also of the transfer of the IANA IPR to the IETF Trust, should be out of scope. I see Jeff saying that he did not follow the CWG. Sadly, I followed it far too closely. But I think that it is really something that we are not going to change. And whatever effect we may think it had or not is probably, again, out of scope for the discussions of this subgroup. So I think that before we leave number seven, we should consider, I'd like to know what some people said they thought it was misleading, and I'm not sure why that was. But in any case, I'll put my hand down, and I think Cavus is next in line.
Hello, Greg, do you hear me?
Yes,
I agree with what you said about CWG. We are not dealing with that issue. It is out of our scope. May I request you to kindly go back to your agenda. Whether you consider me optimistic or pessimistic, that is your judgment. But I remained to be concerned that we are not taking the proper way how to deal with the issue. We are just discussing here and there without concentrating and focusing on a special issue or a specific issue. Either you go to your agenda or please dismiss this document totally and take note of that. It is out of our scope. This one and anything about CWG and IANA transition, PTI and others, let's go back to your agenda. That is the only thing that we have agreed. Thank you.
Thank you, Cavus. I think I agree with you on terms of CWG. In terms of item seven, or not question seven in front of us, that is the second item on our agenda, which is what we're currently on. And for those of us who had the pleasure of watching or listening to the hearings today, we can discuss this in more detail next week, but there were repeated references and statements, and while at the same time, no commitment that ICANN would remain, you know, a California corporation in perpetuity. So I think that's, you know, worth noting. I'd like to raise again the question of why this statement is misleading. Christopher seems to have a hand up, and I think that's still an old hand. Pedro?
Hello, can you hear me?
Go ahead, please.
Yes, I don't know. I wasn't hearing very well, but I think you questioned your question, Greg, was whether why we consider this question misleading, and I think it's the answer is misleading. I will repeat myself. It's I think the answer is misleading basically because it limits the issue of jurisdiction to California law and ICANN's place of where ICANN is headquartered. I think It is, of course, a very important part of our discussion, but not the only part. So, and I think it doesn't bring in new information for our discussion here. So, I think because of that, I asked this, we should not consider this, as it doesn't bring new information, and it tries to limit quite a lot our, let's say, the concept of jurisdiction and the concept we will be working on. We have already agreed is a multi-layer one, and so it should not only be limited to this aspect that is being highlighted here in this Q&A.
Thank you, Pedro. A follow-up question. Do you believe that the a discussion of where ICANN's headquarters is located is within the scope of this subgroup?
Yes, I think this is one aspect of jurisdiction, of this multi-layer jurisdiction that we need to consider. But I think it's important that we don't prejudge anything, or that we, let's say, start with, premises, or let's say that result or results that are cast in stone. I think we should be very open. We have a very open discussion here, and first, let's say, consider what exactly is all those layers of jurisdiction. We had already an exercise. We have already made a first attempt or initial discussion during Workstream 1, and we came up with a non-exhaustive list of layers. But I think our first duty here would be to map or to list all these layers of jurisdiction, that and then based once we have this list, we agree on those lists, then we kind of discuss which are the ones that we should tackle. And that's precisely the proposal I made in Helsinki that I sent you an email about, remembering about this, because I think the first step would be to, let's say, list or map those points of intersection between jurisdictions and ICANN's operations, and I think this would be a start for our work here. Thank you.
Thank you, Pedro. I'll just note for those who may only be on audio, a couple of comments in the chat on this. Jeff Newman says, I do not believe that the place of incorporation is in scope for this subgroup. Tatiana Tropina all says, I also don't believe that the place of incorporation is for this group to decide. Jeff goes on to say, as Mr. Marby said during the testimony today, ICANN's entire new structure and empowered community is all based on California law, and if we deviate from that, then ICANN's entire model and everything we've worked on for the past number of years gets thrown out the window. So I think we at least have a difference of opinion on this. So this is, I think, an open item and one which I think we will need to decide relatively soon in our work in order to determine whether we are looking at this. Robin Gross also comments in her trademark pink, Jeff and Tatiana are right. We can't redo all these reforms at this point. So I will call on Cavus again.
Greg, you are a smart person. We have decided, after a series of options, having multi-membership, single membership, voluntary member, designator, single designator, all of them based on California law. So there is no question that we discussed the location of ICANN. It has already been decided and agreed. And even we discussed whether that should be in the fundamental bylaw or standard or ordinary bylaw. I don't think that we need to discuss that. We are discussing jurisdiction. This has nothing to do with the location of the ICANN. So I request you kindly to go back to the agenda and question that you have raised, the process for the settlement of dispute within the ICANN involving so and so, and not discuss the location of ICANN. It is not our term of reference. It is not our duty, and it has already been decided, and we don't want to reopen. And in fact, we cannot reopen discussion. We are not allowed to do that. Thank you.
Thank you, Cavus. I think that just briefly, if we consider the multi-layers of jurisdiction, which are listed in the Google Doc, domicile does influence certain types of jurisdiction. That's not to say that it should be within our scope, but it at least is part of the generic discussion of jurisdiction, of an aspect of jurisdiction, as well as the place of incorporation, which goes even more toward the question of jurisdiction, since that makes the corporation operate under the state's laws and as well. So I think it is a jurisdiction question, but I don't think that necessarily means it's within scope. This is not a group that is intended to examine every jurisdiction problem possible. Tijani?
Thank you, Greg. Tijani speaking. I think that we are all in agreement now. If I said at the beginning that those Q&A are not important for our work, everyone confirmed the same. Because the comments on the chat, those people who said it is out of our scope, all the comments that have been now mentioned said that when we speak about jurisdiction, we are not speaking about location of the headquarters or incorporation of ICANN. So we are all in agreement. Let's please move. We are all okay with that. Let's move. We need to discuss this multi-layer jurisdiction that we need to discuss, and it will not be an easy task. Thank you.
Thank you, Tijani. Any other comments on this question? Hearing none, we should move on to the Google Doc and recommend that if you can, you try to open the Google Doc itself so that we can look at it collaboratively. I will note in terms of participation that the last change made in this document was 7 days ago, which is basically the time of our last call, which basically means that no progress was made between calls in terms of dealing with this. And I'll also note that other than administrative emails, virtually the only email in this group was Pedro's in the last couple of days. So I think we need to try to step up our level of activity in dealing with each other and in dealing with the document in front of us. So I just encourage that layer of engagement or level of engagement. So I see who you have here. This is not the document that I want to put up. We need to put up the Google Doc we've been working with since the beginning. I don't know if staff needs a copy of that. Good here, because no changes were made in the last week. But it still requires our discussion.
Back the one that you shared today, please.
Yes. I mean, we can – that is not – what we intended to discuss first. We had started discussing the main Google Doc that we've been working on since our first meeting, and the intention is to continue to deal with that. I can share that again if people did not have it. which I will do now. There, Bernie has given us the link. Unfortunately, the PDF that gets generated loses the comments, and actually, unfortunately, loses some of the text as well. So it's a less than perfect solution. But in looking at the document itself on Google, it begins with a discussion, you know, that's been labeled scope. I think there's been some objections to whether this in fact is the scope or main issues that need to be investigated or focus or not. But this states that the main issue that needs to be investigated within our group relates to the influence that ICANN's existing jurisdiction may have on the actual operation of policies and accountability mechanisms. This refers primarily to the process for the settlement of disputes within ICANN involving the choice of jurisdiction and of the applicable laws, but not necessarily the location where ICANN is incorporated. So I think this raises a few questions. Caboose?
Thank you, Greg. I put in the chat some time ago that different people have different understanding of GAAP. Could you kindly either now or later on put in your document what do you mean by GAAP? You want to analyze the gap analysis, and gap between what? Gap is a shortcoming. Gap is lacune. Gap is something is not available. So what do you mean by, what is this, not definition, description of gap in this regard? So what gap we are discussing? What analysis you have to do? Because you put in three elements, the gap analysis, contain the gap analysis, assess the gap analysis. What is the gap analysis? What is the gap? Thank you. Gap between what and what? Thank you.
Thank you, Caboose. I think that's a good question. You know, this is language that we, that is in Annex 12 to the Workstream 1 final proposal. And we have been, gifted this sentence, which is the first bullet point in this group, which it starts with the header. Consideration of jurisdiction in Workstream 2 will focus on the settlement of dispute jurisdiction issues. We'll put that focus issue to one side for the moment, but not for long. Confirming and assessing the gap analysis, clarifying all concerns regarding the multi-layer jurisdiction issue. We could go back to the CCWG and ask what we meant by that. I don't know that we should do that immediately. I think that it's probably better for us to get a general definition of what a gap analysis is and then decide what gap analysis it is that we are confirming or more providing. Generically, my understanding of a gap analysis is that it is an analysis of whether what you seek to accomplish can be accomplished in full under a given set of conditions, and if not, what are the gaps, and how can you close them, or can you work around them, or live with them? That's obviously a very generic definition, but that's, I think, the general understanding, or at least that's mine, and we can certainly add to that, because if one of our actual assignments from the Workstream 1 to Workstream 2 is to confirm and assess the gap analysis, we better know what that means. Jeff Newman.
Yeah, thanks. Sorry, can you guys hear me okay?
Yes.
Cool. Yeah, this is Jeff Newman. I would propose in that italicized language on the top, and I propose this for the other document that you posted as well for the scope, that we take out the word, since we were just talking about incorporation, the word necessarily, because that leaves a lot of vagueness. Let's be definitive and say that this refers to the process of settlement of disputes within ICANN, including the choice of jurisdiction and of the applicable laws, but not the location of where ICANN is incorporated. Let's just get that clear and then move on. Otherwise, you have language of not necessarily, and it's incredibly vague. Thanks.
Thank you, Jeff. And thank you for bringing up that suggestion. As we're looking at this document, I was hoping that you would bring it over from the other document where you discussed it. And I think this ties back to the discussion we were having that was started by looking at question number 7. And I think that, you know, we'll need to decide as a group whether taking the necessarily out is how we see the scope. I think, as I said, that's still, I think, an open question. Caboose?
Greg, thank you very much for your very general description of gap analysis. I do not agree with Bernard what he put in the chat. It is a lot of words putting together that they are not consistent with each other, and they are not coherent in just some words. You put them, you will be totally lost. So I agree with very general things that you have said, provided that you explore that, you put something as a chair or as a rapporteur of this group, your understanding of gap analysis and what we have to do, but not what Bernard put in on the paper. I'm very sorry, Bernard. I apologize. This, what you said, is not clear. It's totally confusing, because a lot of words that when you put them together has no meaning at all. So we have to have a more simpler way, maybe explore what Greg said for the next meeting. What is the gap that we have to analyze and we have to fill up? If we have that, we would be in a better situation. Thank you.
Thank you. I think that maybe what we should do is start another Google Doc just to have, try to have a definition of gap analysis. I am assuming that Bernie probably found that analysis or had that definition from a resource that thought it made sense. It is wordy. There are other definitions of gap analysis that differ in both tone and in some extent substance. So we should come up with what we mean. Jeff asks, I see Pedro has his hand up, and then I'll go to what Jeff says in the chat. Pedro?
Yes, Greg, thank you very much. With regards to the concept of gap analysis, if I recall correctly, we had this, when we had this discussion in WordStream 1, I think what we meant by gap was actually the difference between the accountability requirements that we as a community elaborated and how these requirements have been implemented given, let's say, the legal jurisdictional, let's say, tools we have within the California nonprofit law. So it's actually the gap is the difference between the requirements and the actual implementation of those requirements and whether those requirements have been implemented in full or not. So I think that is the gap that we need to, let's say, we agree that we would identify as part of the work of WorkStream 2.
And with regards to the proposal of Jeff, I think it would, if we remove the necessarily here, we would contradict the, let's say, the agreement in WordStream 1, and let's say set aside one part, one aspect of the discussion of jurisdiction that we have agreed to some extent it would, let's say, be part of this discussion. So I think what has been written in WordStream 1 actually indicates some focus, but actually does not exclude other aspects of jurisdiction to be discussed. And I will, again, let's say, call for us to be open here in this discussion to, let's say, consider all the relevant aspects of jurisdiction, make an exhaustive, if possible, a overall list of aspects of jurisdiction, all those layers, and then, as a second step of the work here, consider which are the aspects we should, let's say, make recommendations on. So I think that's it. So I wouldn't agree with, changing this wording that we have agreed in WordStream 1. Thank you.
Pedro, Jeff said that he thought that the language was ambiguous. And certainly if you take out the word necessarily, it probably is unambiguous. But if you don't think this language is ambiguous, I'd like to understand how you think it would work in our explorations and what potential recommendations it could lead to.
Well, I don't have a recommendation right now, but I think it would be premature for us to, let's say, start changing the wording we have agreed on. I think we need more reflection, more discussion, and then I think we should come up with a detailed recommendations. But at this point, I think simply because, as I understood, Jeff's proposal was simply set aside this discussion of jurisdiction of a place of incorporation, which isn't necessarily what we have agreed in WordStream 1.
Thank you, Pedro. I think there are clearly two proposals with regard to our scope and the issue of the location of incorporation. So I think that we'll need to take that further, and this may be one of the things that we do take back to the CCWG plenary, as the plan is to report back to the CCWG and also to, if we have open questions that we don't feel that we can resolve as a group, we can bring those back to the plenary. I'm not saying that we can't resolve this one as a group, but I think right now, I don't want to prejudge where we're going to come out. So I think we need to put a pin in this. Sadly, it's now 3:57, so we are really close to the end. But I think we have two significant issues that we should continue to discuss, especially try to get more voices on these topics. One is the issue of whether the scope should include the location where ICANN is incorporated, and also how that relates to jurisdiction. And second is defining what a gap analysis is generically, and more importantly, what it means in the terms of this particular exercise. Jeff Newman had a suggestion in the chat, which hopefully makes its way into the notes as well. I think it did. I see that. Good. A better way to state this is, what are the issues that arise due to the current jurisdiction in which ICANN is located? So that's perhaps another phrasing of the same question. So, Pedro, please go ahead.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes. Thank you. Yeah, I just wanted, because I saw some reactions in the chat, and I think people are, at least some people are afraid that, seem to be afraid that by discussing ICANN's place of incorporation, we are, let's say, necessarily coming to the conclusion that ICANN should change its place of incorporation. And I think if we start with this premise, I think we are going the wrong direction. I think we should discuss this and at least in the beginning try to assess how ICANN's, let's say, the law, jurisdiction of ICANN's place in cooperation interferes with ICANN operations, and to in order to leave this as a, let's say, so that we can properly assess all those different aspects of jurisdiction. There are, I think, and presumably there are different aspects of jurisdiction that are related to ICANN's place of incorporation. Not all of them, but there are different aspects. I think we should at least from this as a first exercise enumerate all those aspects, be it, let's say, antitrust law or labor law or all the different aspects of law that I think we should consider as a first step of our exercise. And then evaluate whether it there needs to be some recommendation given on that aspect. But I think by eliminating the discussion of the jurisdiction of ICANN's place on cooperation from our discussion here, we will be, let's say, limiting quite a lot and not, let's say, attending the expectation of many stakeholders in the ICANN community.
Thank you, Pedro. We've now reached the top of the hour, and I think that I would classify the kind of analysis that you were talking about as being kind of under effect of jurisdiction, and whether that's the effect of jurisdiction of incorporation or domicile or choice of law or of venue for settlement of disputes, there are effects that result from that. I think before we get to that, we should look at the multi-layers of jurisdiction, the different types of things that we end up calling jurisdiction, which is at the top of page 2 of the document in your screen. I think that would be a good place to stop and to suggest that you know, we look at those issues. I would also I'll call on Tijani and then I'll close the queue.
Thank you very much, Greg. Tijani speaking. First of all, I would like to know why we stick to Google Docs. We have, and staff knows very well, that we are always working in ICANN with the wiki. And the wiki is accessible by everyone, everywhere in the world, while Google Docs is not accessible in some parts of the world. And when we are working on the wiki, it is the environment that ICANN is working with. So why we don't work on the wiki? Because the wiki is more accessible and because we are more familiar with the wiki. This is my first point. My second point, we need to go, as Greg just said, to the multi-layer jurisdiction. This is the most important point that we have to start with, and this is something that we need to work on immediately. All other aspects are really not important as the multi-layer. If we agree on those layers, I think we are close to the solution. So let's start by addressing the issue, which is the multi-layer jurisdiction. Thank you.
Thank you, Tijani. I think that coincides with my suggestion as well. In terms of the wiki, I have to confess that while I, use the wiki for reference when things are put there by ICANN staff, Other than the SLI, I've never edited the wiki, had any call to use the wiki. So this may be one of these things that varies by stakeholder group or advisory committee or community that you're in, but I'm not sure whether we have any experiment with who has what experience with the wiki. So perhaps what we will do is experiment with the wiki rather than the Google Doc for one aspect, perhaps the gap analysis discussion, and see how people like working with that versus this, so that we can at least, you know, give that tool a shot. It's my understanding that ICANN is exploring a truly collaborative real-time, the possibility of having something that's more like Google Docs that has allows for real-time collaboration, but that it doesn't, it's not, there isn't one yet, which is why we turned to Google Doc. So in any case, we are now over time by about the same amount of time as we started late. So we've had our hour, just slightly time shifted. And our next meeting has been sent out to you as an invite. We are back on a 1300 time because of our rotation, which may not always go so neatly. But we are meeting at exactly 1 week from today, but at 1300 hours. So I encourage everyone to be very active on the list and very active on the documents, wherever they may live, so that we can come roaring into our next meeting with a good deal of progress between now and then. With that, I'd like to thank my co-rapporteur, Vinay Kasari, and thank all of those who participated and hung in here. So I will call this meeting adjourned and ask that the recording be stopped.
Thanks, Greg.